T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
It is our fourth and final hour. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. If you missed Steve Kerr, you missed a good one, but you won't have to miss it for much longer because we're going to run it past you at 6:30 tonight. So don't you go anywhere. Steve Kerr coming up here on 95.7 The Game. Got a very good article from Andrew Baggerly about spring training issues for the Giants. He, of course, draws a straight line between that, who is there and who is not there, not yet anyways. Las Vegas says it is even money that Bryce Harper ends up signing with the San Francisco Giants. Okay, sure, that'd be great. Let's see if it happens. I think the Giants need it from a box office standpoint, from a baseball standpoint. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a big season-altering move. But at the same time, what message are you sending to a team if you give them nobody to go to war with? Isn't it what the Giants have pretty much given the San Francisco Giants so far? Very little to go to war with. Bryce Harper feels like a little bit more. 888-957-9570. Again, Steve Kerr was magnificent last hour. We're still taking calls on him. We're talking about the AAF, the Alliance. It's out there. And it was kind of interesting for just a week one debut. Got a better ratings number than I certainly expected to get. So kind of fascinating there. And one more note that the NFL just about winning, boss, and that's all that really matters. Did you see that the Browns signed Kareem Hunt today? A lot of people are trying to tell you that they're unscrupulous over in Cleveland, and I'll just tell you that they're trying to win football games, and they don't care whose feelings they hurt. That's how some teams operate. They should be able to do so without apology. It's just the way I look at the world of sports. Not looking for lessons. I don't think I would be hiring guys like that, but you want to go ahead and you do that, that's on you. One other thing from the world of sports this weekend that was amazing. Did you watch any of that Duke-Virginia game? Did you see the rejected three that Zion Williamson put out there? Good God. He was halfway through the lane before he went out to the three-point line to just swat a ball that was a three-point attempt from the corner. This guy, I have never seen a more about to be the number one pick in the NFL draft or the NBA draft than this guy is. It is unbelievable. Oh, did we mention that today Kevin Durant decided that he's going to move his entire media company to the city of New York?
Those are the reports we're hearing.
I just saw Tim Kawakami say that. Now, maybe the reason why Kevin Durant's upset about all these questions about his future is because he's telling us what he's about to do clear as day every single day of the week. I'd like to just dismiss that as nonsense. I can't.
So not reading into it too much?
I mean,
he has other companies too. It's not the only one he's invested in. One is moving to New York, but others are here in California.
I'd like to not read into it too much, but come on, man. Come on. Why? What is the end game to create an illusion that you're leaving if you're staying? What's in it for you? What's in it for you to create the illusion of I don't love it here before you're about to plant your flag in the I'm going nowhere never? I'm just thinking out loud.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like he's setting up his future to be someplace else, sure. But, as soon as when? Next year? Couple years.
I guess that's the secret question. Damon, do you think that the fact that Kyler Murray was drafted by the A's and not a team like the Yankees or the Red Sox had anything to do with his decision? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I would not be comfortable. I would not be more comfortable with the A's controlling my path to free agency than I would be the NFL. It's up to the A's when your major league clock starts ticking. And there's no doubt in my mind that the A's go out of their way to avoid Super 2 arbitration cases because they don't want to get to anybody's arbitration before they have to. And there's nothing about the NFL to suggest they're trying to do it with Groupons, where every single conceivable aspect of the A's franchise suggests a 20% off Groupon. So I think it absolutely has something to do with it. Damon, Rich Kleiman's based in New York. Yeah, I know that. I also know that he wants to work in the Knicks front office one day. He's Kevin Durant's agent. Does that make you less or more nervous?
More.
Thank you. This is DG in Oakland. DG, what do you got?
Good evening, Damon, Gianna. Earlier in the broadcast, Damon, you mentioned that stylistically Coach Kerr is not one to offer up unsolicited communications advice to his players. Can you help me understand what the role that communications maven for the Warriors, Raymond Ritter, should have in guiding his players, maybe Durant specifically, towards having a more compatible relationship with the media?
You can only give a player advice. You can't force anyone to take your advice that you would give them. What I know about Raymond, and I don't know his day-to-day and who he talks to and how much he tells players to approach the media, but he leaves everybody prepared. And I just think that there's probably not enough players taking Raymond's advice because Raymond is great at dealing with the media. Still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, at some point I figured you'd want another comment there.
No, I was just pausing to hear what maybe Gianna has perspective on this as well.
Gianna, you in on Raymond Ritter?
You know, in my past experience with Raymond Ritter, anytime I've booked an interview through him to talk to one of the players, they've always been well prepared and, you know, ready to go and so forth. So I'm sure he prepares them all, but at the end of the day, they're going to step up and every time to the podium and make those decisions. And sometimes on the fly, they're going to offer their opinions, whether the Warriors like it or not.
Right.
And that seems like what Kevin probably did. He went on his own path.
Well, given how disruptive this whole kerfluffle has been over the last couple of months, I was just wondering whose responsibility really is it to, I guess it's Durant himself. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Given the fact that they have professionals around them?
Absolutely. Look at it this way. Is there anyone in this franchise? Is there anyone who you can see who's upset with any conceivable aspect of the season other than Kevin Durant? I don't. There's not a single Golden State Warrior who appears to be out of place, uncomfortable, looking for a little less media intrusiveness or more attention. Like, there's nothing going wrong with any aspect of the Warriors' year other than this manufactured Kevin Durant victimhood that he wants to play for some reason. Kevin Durant's not a victim. He understands the media. If he doesn't understand how these questions work by now, how many years is he into his career? Kevin Durant, this is his ninth year in the NBA, his 10th year in the NBA. Let's go ahead and double check this, make sure we get it the number right on the head. It's his ninth season. It's his 12th season. Are we sure? Are we counting? Are we using 9 with Seattle and Oklahoma City, 3 with the Warriors, 9 plus 3 equals
12.
12 years in, and I got to tell you how this works. 12 years. 12 years in, and the media is still spooking you.
Maybe he has limits, Damon. Maybe he just gets to a point where it's like, all right, that's it.
But
I'm
that's
good.
The thing.
I'm out.
But his limits have allowed him to keep everybody at bay for 9 days. Like, what more do you want, dude? You got a magic wand. You waved it. Everybody vanished for 9 days. Nobody asked you a question. And then you go on TV today to talk about how, you know, if these guys would just come up to me and ask me. No one was allowed to talk to you for 9 days. You didn't talk to anybody for 9 days. And by the way, and here's just a thing. Like, I know what pouty looks like, man. It's just a little too pouty for my taste. As a player, he's amazing. As a scoring entity, watching Kevin Durant brings me a level of basketball joy and security that I've just never seen from a player before. He's amazing. He's the ultimate safety blanket. I don't like Moody. I never have. Never liked Moody. It's just not who I am. I don't get along with Moody very well.
Like, he's a little too moody for you?
Just kind of, for me. Yeah. I mean, especially when you're being moody thing, when you're hand selecting what you're moody about, even though you know that you have no victimhood to claim here. Hey, Kevin Durant, you're so wildly popular. We have a ton of questions for you. Oh, my God, that poor guy.
But a lot of the questions lately are about what are you going to do with your future? Are you going to the Knicks? What's the next step after the Warriors? You're staying here. So, I mean, maybe just after a while, it gets old for him. It's like, okay.
You defuse the bomb.
Yeah, that's probably the best case scenario, but that's, he's going to handle how he wants to.
You can't say, I'm just going to keep my options open and be upset when people keep asking you about your open options. Why don't you, in the same breath, say, I'm going to keep my options open, but I'm not going to be discussing them from here on out. And you might have to say that every day, but at least you remind everybody every day. You know, start drawing lines and calling out Ethan Sherwood, Strauss, and all. I mean, it's so punching down. Kevin Durant punches down. Draymond Green stepped to him once, and Kevin Durant wilted, and it took him 3 days to get right again. He could have punched up. He didn't. So I'm just, look, and do I want him to stay? You bet I do. You bet I do. If he doesn't want to stay, we're not speaking the same language.
Take a moody Kevin Durant as long as the performances on the court is what it needs to be, and they're bringing home more championships.
And here's the deal, dude. You are one John Hancock away from ending your moodiness and ending every single question about you. Like, you chose to live in this universe, and now you're complaining about the universe that you're living in. You chose to be here, man. You wanted all the attention that comes with, I don't have a long-term commitment. If Bryce Harper shows up and only signs a 3-year deal, do you think he's going to get all bent out of shape when someone asks him about his only 3-year deal? He's going to say, no, it's a 3-year deal. Not that Bryce Harper has a pending 3-year deal.
We're hoping.
By the way, I do have to say, like, 3 years, $100 million shouldn't have to go to 3 years, $115 million. Like, 3 years, $100 million should get your ass in town. Mm-hmm. 888-957-9570. Alex in El Dorado Hills. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, Dave and Gianna. How you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
What's up?
Hey, you were talking about Steve Kerr's calming voice, and just want to share a memory. The first thing that came to mind as you were talking about that, I remember during the Dubs 73-9 season, you know, Cleveland after game 6, going into game 7 after being up 3-1, I remember when they were asking Steve Kerr, you know, how do you feel about going into game 7? And I don't know of any coach that could have been more calm after just losing 3 games in a row and Cleveland tying at 3-3. And I just thought it might be fun if maybe go back memory lane and you bring up some of those clips as an example, just how calm Steve Kerr is in just any situation. So that was about it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Alex, thank you. Like, we could go back and we could find that, or we could play any other piece of post-game audio, doctor it, and tell you it's from that. You wouldn't be able to tell. And that's the beauty. There's always such an even, calm presence about him that it is amazing. And I did. I last hour, I related it to the Won't You Be My Neighbor, Mr. Rogers documentary. As great as Fred Rogers was, as prepared and studied he was to relate to kids, it was the vehicle of his voice which allowed him to be that impactful. I mean, how the message is presented is as important as the message. Which brings me back to Kevin Durant, who today was on ESPN. Again, now, I think it was, remind me if I'm wrong here, Gianna, all the upset with the media was last week.
Yes.
That was all last week. And since all of that happened, they got on a plane, they went to Phoenix, they won in Phoenix, they got on another plane, they flew back home, they played the Miami Heat, and they beat the Miami Heat. So it's last week, two wins in between, he's playing great. So why this morning, when nobody in the world is talking about it, do you go on ESPN to say this?
Well, when you got beat writers that come into practice and the games and you build relationships with these guys in person, just wanted to let them know how I approach the game as a player, knowing that I have to talk to media. And if I get an opportunity to talk to media, I want to get a fan's my perspective about the game, not about business, stuff that, you know, I can't control at this point. So I was just letting them know what I wanted to talk about when I come into practice or before a shoot around or after a game.
Kevin, you don't get to pick the questions asked of you, and you don't get to determine what the fans' interest in you is. And I can promise you, if we lined up 10 Kevin Durant fans, all diehard Kevin Durant fans, we went up to each 10 and said, what's your number one question for Kevin? You can only ask one. Do you think anyone would be like, do you think Kevin can really explain why he's embraced the two-point a mid-range shot instead of going out to the three-point line with the rest of the NBA's trends? Do you think there'd be a single person inquiring as to, well, tell me about the process of how you decide what colorways your shoes are going to be at Nike? You know, like there isn't a single person who would ask him about the brand new academy that he just built in Maryland for his kids, Maryland, New England. Sorry.
Very funny.
You had to be here last week. But seriously, 10 Kevin Durant fans, diehard Kevin Durant fans, all 10 fans' first questions would be about where he's going to play next summer. I bet if we walked up to Kevin Durant and his mom, I bet if we walked up to Mrs. Durant, said, you're allowed to ask your son one question between now and the start of the next NBA season. What's that one question going to be? What do you think Mrs. Durant's question to her son would be? Is Steph Curry the best teammate you ever had? I mean, what does he want? What kind of high school level question is he looking for? Kevin, do you think offensive rebounds are important? Now, how about this? Are you going to swing the entire balance of the league that we cover by going to the New York Knicks? That's a legitimate question for anyone who legitimately covers this league. The only person who doesn't seem to understand how legitimate it really is the guy we're asking the question to. In which case, do a press conference with your agent and have your agent answer the questions. Well, then you're going to look like you're hiding behind your agent. It's better than hiding behind a cone of silence. At least if you're number one. But again, what do I know? I don't know much in this world, but I do know communication. It's the one thing I do. And I do know that if you fail to control the message, someone will more than volunteer to control it for you. If you didn't want Ethan Sherwood Strauss speculating, you should have given him an answer or two. An answer from you kills speculation, but you invited speculation. It's just, and what's crazy about it, like I said, it was so over and done with. No one was even talking about it until Kevin Durant showed up on ESPN this morning to go over his own hard feelings of something from 6 days ago.
Well, they were going to ask him about it. I mean, that
why
was
even,
when
why
when
even
the
go
lines
on it? I thought the whole point was no more media. The media, I don't trust any of you except for Mike Greenberg. I don't trust any of you except ESPN, in which case I will sit down and do an on-camera interview for like three different shows today because I'm going through the car wash. Why? Because I'm moving my entire media company to New York. Why? Well, I don't want to talk about that.
And he's got a new show coming up. I mean, he's got stuff to promote.
For a guy who doesn't like the media, he is sure up to his nuts in media things. Anyone else notice that? By the way, it's a Latin term. Up to your nuts. I mean, it really is. For a guy who's sick and tired of the media, he sure is on a media tour on a big media network talking about how he's moving his media company to the media capital of the United States. 888-957-9570. Couple of your calls before we get... Oh, no, we got Steve Kerr coming up next? That's right. I promise you, a Steve Kerr replay coming up at 6:30. We're going to do that, and then your phone calls are coming up right after Gianna Franco holds court.
You're listening to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
It's very rare we get the opportunity to talk to Steve Kerr on a Monday. As a matter of fact, I can't even remember the last time that that happened. We caught up with him Thursday last week, right after Kevin Durant had his little media tete-a-tete. Things have gone very, very, very well for the Warriors since then. They're 2-0 over their trip from the weekend. They win in Phoenix. And then Steve Kerr sees his team win at home last night over Miami. When Steve Kerr's not winning games for the Warriors as head coach, he is lobbying for Bryce Harper at press conferences. And we began our question and back and forth with Steve by just saying, Steve, between the games, the wins, the Bryce Harper thing, like what more could you possibly do for the Bay Area?
Do you see the tweet from MLB? They fined me $50,000 for tampering.
You should pay him in pennies. You really should. That was fantastic. Very funny. I'm glad we all got our tampering sense of humor about us these days. Last week, it wasn't so funny.
Yeah, not so much.
It is really good to have you on here. You're 15-1 in your last 16. You've won four in a row. You got the Jazz tomorrow. You're in Portland on Wednesday. But most importantly, Steve, you hitting the beaches in San Diego after that? Like, are you going straight to Pacific Beach, or are you a La Jolla guy?
I'm a Del Mar guy, so excited about that. We get, you know, about 5 days off for the All-Star break, which is incredible. So everybody other than, you know, Steph, Clay, and KD, I think people are going to be scattered around and just enjoying a little time off before we come back for the next run.
Steve, you know, we always talk about the break that the players need and the mileage that they put on their bodies. Can we just talk about the mental break that you and your coaching staff need right here and now? I mean, how nice is it to really get away for 5 days in the middle of a season? It's just got to be a luxury that you're not used to these days.
Yeah, it is huge. Bruce Frazier, one of our assistants, puts it best. He says sometimes you just got to get off the hamster wheel. And that's what it feels like. You know, you're constantly running on the wheel and going and going and going. And you know, just to change up the routine and get away for a few days, you just get so refreshed, recharged. So we're all looking forward to that.
Well, hopefully you have a nice little break with you and yours and you get away. What level of concern do you have for your three players who don't get the luxury of unplugging because they're going to Charlotte for the game?
Well, I mean, that's a good problem to have. I mean, every player would rather play in the All-Star game than get a break. I mean, it's an incredible honor. They will get a couple of days off after the game, so they'll have Monday and Tuesday off. I don't know what each of them has planned at this point, but we won't practice till Wednesday, and then we'll get back at it. But those guys are all sort of used to it. They're All-Stars every year.
Steve, it feels like there's been an avalanche of technicals in your direction. Maybe that's a sign of your guys just needing a break and they've been complaining a little bit. Maybe that's what happens when you add Boogie to the mix. It sort of encourages everyone. I also think that we've got some officials with very eager whistles. One in particular I'd like to ask you about. On Friday night, Sean Livingston got teched for essentially shrugging and asking where the foul was. And this is a guy with an A-plus reputation. This isn't a guy who steps to an official with Draymond's reputation. Did that burn you a little bit? It looked like you were upset.
Yeah, I was mad about that one because Sean didn't say a word. I mean, I saw the whole thing unfold right in front of me, and basically Sean thought he got hit on the wrist on the shot and gestured, you know, mimicking a hit on the wrist and got a technical for that. And So I was disappointed. I thought that was too quick. I thought the one last night with Draymond was too quick, asking for the goaltend in the second half down the stretch when Sean went in transition. I thought there was a pretty obvious goaltend call that was missed. And I think Draymond gestured and yelled, "That's a goaltend," and he got a technical. So, you know, sometimes they happen quickly, heat of the moment type things, and you disagree, but there's nothing you can do. Just move on to the next
question. As you start counting guys' technical fouls and you point your direction towards Utah tomorrow night, are you going to have Draymond Green on a little red alert? Are you going to talk to him about Rudy Gobert? I know the two of them exchanged some words in the media, all-star snubbery, if you will, no crying in basketball, so on and so forth. I would think that they're going to try to get Draymond to take some bait tomorrow, don't you think?
Well, they might, but to be honest, it would almost be disrespectful of me as Draymond's coach to even say anything, because he knows. I never have to tell him, hey, you have a certain number of technicals and you have this many more. He knows. He knows all that stuff, and he knows what to expect tomorrow in this game. I don't need to tell him. We just have an unspoken agreement that he knows what's going on. I know what's going on, and I trust Draymond. He always finds a way to walk that fine line with his passion and his anger and his competitive desire. And so I'm not worried about him at all.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Steve, you don't worry about a lot of stuff, man. You've seen life from many different angles. It's incredible what you've dealt with. And, you know, I think I know a lot about you. And then I discover something about you that I just did not know about today. Marcus Thompson's piece in The Athletic about your grandparents, an event that honored them last night in San Francisco. Steve, would you please tell me more and those who didn't read about Stanley and is it Alyssa Kerr?
Elsa
Kerr.
Yeah.
Elsa Stanley and Elsa Kerr. Tell me about your grandparents and the role that they played in Armenian genocide, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. I led our family to the Middle East, and that's why my dad was born there. That's why I was born in Beirut myself. But my grandparents, during World War One, during the Turkish-Armenian genocide, when the Turks and the Armenians were basically at war, my grandparents went over there as relief workers and protected Armenian orphans, and the end result was it was a horrible genocide. Over a million Armenians were killed, but those who survived, many of them basically thanked my family because of my grandparents' efforts to protect the many of the orphans who ended up in the United States and started families. So we had a wonderful event Saturday at an Armenian school here in San Francisco, honoring my grandparents, and it was really an emotional night because a lot of those families were direct descendants of some of the orphans who my grandparents took care of. So it was really, really an amazing night, a fundraiser for the school, but a very emotional night for my family, for sure.
Very cool to see your grandparents honored like that, and to just draw a parallel between what they did and a pop culture reference that I think is easily digested by my entire audience. It sounds like your grandparents had like a Schindler's List effect in but on a scale that dwarfs it. I mean, tens of thousands of lives were changed.
Well, I don't know if that's the exact metaphor, but they were there basically as part of an American relief organization called the Near East Relief Organization that began during that genocide. So they were there right from the outset. That's actually where they met. My grandparents met over there. They weren't married until they met each other in Armenia, in Lebanon. So it was that's where they met. That's where they got married and started their family. And that's kind of how I ended up here. And a lot of people were coming up to me saying, "Thank you for being born." You're welcome. I'm glad I could do that for you. But it really, truly was humbling. You think about what people do and put their lives on the line for.
Apparently there's going to be a documentary, a yet-to-be-completed documentary that you got a little preview of called Kerr, Warriors of Peace. And this is about your family. Are you included in this, Steve?
The woman who was working on the documentary was a high school classmate of mine in Los Angeles. So we reconnected about a year ago, and she's always had this passion for Armenian history, and so she's already been working on this documentary, and it includes a lot of my family members. And so we'll see where it all goes. But we were all able to watch about a 20-minute preview of it, and it was, as I said, very emotional for me because I hadn't seen a lot of the footage that was shown in the documentary ever before. I knew the story, obviously, quite well, but to see some of the images was really moving.
It must have been touching for you, your wife, your boys. It's very, very cool, Steve. It is. Now, your grandfather, he was a handyman. Now, that he was from a generation that sort of kept it to itself. Did he really share his history with you, or did you have to find out about it secondhand?
Well, he wrote a book about it called The Lions of Marash. Marash is a town in Turkey, where this one of the orphanages was. And so he wrote a book about this in the early 70s. I can't tell you how many Armenian people have come up to me, Armenian Americans, over the years. Said, I read your grandfather's book, and so really, interesting. But my grandparents didn't talk a whole lot about it. I've heard more about it from my mom over the years than I ever did from them.
Wow, it's just it's an amazing story. It goes into the soup of what makes you, I think, one of the most interesting people to talk to, not just in sports, Steve, but really like out there in the world. Your background is fascinating. As who you are as a coach and whatnot. That's just amazing. It feels almost trite to go back to like NBA All-Star 3-point shooting contest questions here. So let me wrap up with this. It says that your grandfather and you built a rabbit cage.
Yeah.
What was the name of the rabbit?
We had two of them, Otis and Olive. Those are the two. Those are two rabbits.
That's fantastic. Otis and Olive. My friend in high school, he had a rabbit, and I came up with a name for the rabbit.
Which was?
Hair Jordan.
Oh, God. That's awful. That's just awful.
I'm not saying, that's not a walk-off punchline. That's true. Like, I came up with that when I was 13. I thought it was a sight into a brilliant mind.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Steve, incredible. Incredible story. Incredible story about your grandparents. Your team's been playing incredible basketball. Keep it up. And more than anything else, man, get away and have yourself a really good time down in San Diego. Have a couple margaritas and tacos for us, okay?
Oh, you know I will. Thanks, Damon.
Nice little chance to unplug for Steve Kerr and his staff with the upcoming NBA All-Star break. And again, what doesn't this guy do for the Bay Area? He was lobbying for Bryce.
That would be fun. I'd love it if Bryce Harper came here. So does my opinion matter? Bryce, come to the Giants. Let's go.
Steve Kerr doing everything he can here in the Bay Area. When we come back, I'm going to tip my cap. I'll let you know what's coming up next. And we'll dive quickly into a little article that Andrew Baggerly wrote for The Athletic about Bryce Harper. What might draw him to California? What might push him away?
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Pitchers and catchers reported for one major league team today. I believe the Giants are up next tomorrow. Is that it? Or is it Thursday?
Giants Thursday, A's today.
A's today, Giants on Thursday. Well, that gives him 48 more hours to get Bryce Harper into camp before camp starts, right?
Yes, it does.
Let's see it happen. Coming up tonight with the Butcher Boy, who's going to take over for me, Susan Slesser. I know she was down in Mesa today as the glove started popping for the very first time. I do love that sound. Oh, you got just fastballs. Popping leather mitts for the first time, and you haven't heard it in 4 or 5 months. Sounded good. Sounded really, really good. It will be nice to have baseball back. I just hope baseball can do a little bit more to stay in the center of our radar this season than it did last season. The bottom line is that the Giants do need to sign somebody to help in this outfield? And if you don't sign Harper, how much longer is it going to take for these other names to start getting signed? It really feels like they're going to how about this? The minute that Bryce Harper signs with someone, if that someone isn't with you, you better be ready to go on your next move. Whatever your plan B is, you better be at the front porch of your plan B within a millisecond, because everybody, your plan B is someone else's plan A.
Right.
Here's another thing that Andy tucked in this column that just made me go, oh my God. The Giants have employed a different left fielder in each of their last 12 opening days. The streak began with Barry Bonds' final season in 2007, and the Giants are guaranteed to make it 13 for 13 this season, too, since Hunter Pence was their opening day left fielder in 2018. So you haven't had a single guy go from year to year at the position of left field in terms of opening days since Bonds left. Oh, we don't need Bryce Harper. Steven Duggar might be the trickiest rehab guy at one of the most crucial spots. He was always nicked and dinged up. There isn't much center field depth in the system. So an injured or unproductive Duggar, that would be real, real, real bad real quickly. You know, it'll be super for the Giants if Bumgarner, Holland, Pomerantz, Samardzija, Derek Rodriguez each have durable and superlative seasons, and Bochy and Zaidi can deploy a conventional pitching staff. But what happens if it doesn't go that way? What happens when somebody gets hurt? What happens if somebody gets traded? And really, if you don't bring in Bryce Harper to your clubhouse, what kind of message are you sending your team? Like, didn't Buster Posey just tweet at the Philadelphia Phillies, like, why do you announce you're going for it? Shouldn't you be going for it every year? I would love to ask Buster Posey if the Giants don't sign Bryce Harper, if he thinks the Giants are going for it. You think that would be an unfair question? Hey, Buster, the team was dead last in every single important production number last year. You basically did nothing to correct that. You going for it? Again, I don't see Buster pop off very often on social media or anywhere. I was surprised he did that. And if they don't end up with Harper now, that is some absolute, absolute egg on their face. This is a story that they didn't need to get out in front of, but they did, mm-hmm. and they chose to. That rumor that I shared with you on Saturday came from inside the walls of 24 Willie Mays Plaza, and we will all be watching together to see what happens next with Mr. Bryce Harper. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Thanks to Bob Nightingale for joining us for a moment or two before his cell phone failed. Thanks to Steve Kerr for joining us. Always a fantastic conversation with him. We want to thank Joe, the PA. Good stuff, Joe. We keep on asking you back, so I mean, you haven't screwed up anything yet. So there you go. Got that going for you. Albie, thank you. Elena, merci beaucoup. C'est si bon, bouton vixen. Gianna.
Damon.
Thank you, as always. Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, coming up next with The Butcher Shop. Thank you so much for tuning in. Great talking to you today. We'll be back for a full four-hour show once again tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Check out the ass on that football league.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.